Okay, Britt, this is going to be super informal. I literally have no notes, but there was so much. My notes and my script, not even my notes, just my script for the last episode on Robert Wan was 13 pages long. And I felt like there were so many little things that I could not fit in there without just getting totally derailed and us just talking in circles for 25 minutes because each thing, I mean, doesn't lead to more answers. So
the whole case was bonkers.
Bonkers is the perfect world. I think we should title it Bonkers, Robert Wan. Murder of Robert Wan. Bonkers. So here's like the little things that I know because I researched it but didn't share with everyone else. So number one, Joseph. Now, he told the police that when he got to the scene, remember he said that he took the knife off of Robert's like stomach or something and then put it on the nightstand. And then that's when
and lifted his shirt or something, right?
Yeah, and that's when he was like, oh, you're only going to find my DNA and whatever he said.
Yeah, don't worry about that.
Apparently, he like later told somebody else, like a friend, that he actually took the knife out of Robert. So,
oh.
Yeah, his statements were very inconsistent, which, again, I mean, at this point, nobody is surprised, but it's just even more proof that something is super up there. And one of the things I wondered, and I definitely didn't want to do this in the episode because it's like very heavy into the speculation, but when he talked about, like you said, him lifting the shirt and seeing so much blood, I mean, he had to have actually seen the crime scene. And he was at the crime scene when the paramedics arrived before he went and talked to police. So he knew there was not a lot of blood there. I almost wonder if it's something instinctive. Like when you're, it's really hard, I think a lot harder than people think to tell a lie. And I wonder if like in the moment when police are questioning him, if he doesn't partly revert back to
the truth,
the real moment. Yeah, the real moment when Robert was killed, wherever that was, because I think we all agree it wasn't in that bed. It might not even been in that room. And if he's remembering seeing all that blood, even though it's like totally inconsistent with what was actually found.
Yeah, I mean, I know I've read and heard and researched a little bit about the idea that there is something where you're in this high stress situation, you're being interviewed by the police about the death of your friend or someone you know or someone that is around you, and it's very difficult to keep your lies straight. So I would not be surprised if he did just revert back to telling the truth and letting this one little truth into his statement.
Exactly.
Did they luminol anything at the place?
So not from what I can tell. From everything I read, like that was like the biggest thing is once they used this Ashley reagent thing, they couldn't go back and use luminol testing.
Which I guess kind of makes sense, but is really unfortunate if this Ashley thing is that unreliable.
Oh, Ashley's are the worst. Yeah, so they kind of, and that's like where they get, the police get so much flack is they really botched the investigation there. The medical examiner really botched it with not saving a single vial of blood to be retested, which again is, to me, is like baffling.
Well, they swabbed all these things in places and kept samples of things that they tested, but no blood.
Yeah, and from what I can tell, like, the dog hits on the drain and the dryer lint trap, but not a lot of additional testing was done after that. So as far as I can tell, they never actually tested the lint trap to say, did somebody have a bloody nose one time and then you cleaned it and dried it, whatever? Or is this Robert's blood in your dryer, which shouldn't be there because it's the first time he's ever spent the night at your house and he's shouldn't be washing his clothes there for sure.
Yeah, and he's been there for a very short amount of time.
Exactly. One of the men, and I can't remember which one it was, I want to say it was Dylan, was making up these like crazy excuses for why the back door would have been unlocked. Because again, I think it's super strange. If you're going to have an alarm system, then you lock your doors, you arm your alarm system. You don't just go to bed and leave your back door unlocked and your alarm system off, right?
It certainly doesn't make sense.
Right. So he's like making up these excuses. And the one he gives police in his interview is like, okay, we were all in the kitchen talking. Robert was there. We're just chit-chatting. And Joseph sees like a spider somewhere out in the patio that he went to like go kill or brush away or something, and then he like must have left it open when he came back in, which seems like very bizarre to me.
Yeah.
But he was like really stretching it to like make an excuse for why that would be left open. And also, I want to like point out that that chime only happened once. So was if we're totally supposed to buy this intruder theory, was the intruder in the house all day? And then just like they heard the chime when he left? Or did the intruder come in, leave the door open? Like, you should have heard two chimes, right? Like, if there was an intruder, he comes in, door chimes, he leaves, door chimes.
Yeah, I was going to say, would it continue chiming if the door was still open? Do we know that? Probably not.
So, if it's like mine at home, mine doesn't. Like, if I were to open the door and leave it open, it doesn't chime again when I close it, only on the open.
But if you leave it open, does it continue to chime?
No. But, like, why are we even talking? Like,
oh, no. I mean, what we're talking about didn't actually happen. I get that.
No. Yeah, there's, like, no intruder anywhere ever. One of the other things that I think is worth mentioning, and this is more for the people who, because there's still a group of people who want to, like, theorize about why Robert was there, and maybe Robert was engaged in something, like, sexual or whatever. I think there's proof that 100%, like, it's not all proving already. I don't think he had a clue what was going on. But when he was found, he actually had a night guard that he would have to wear to bed. And when he was found, he had his night guard in. And to me, this proves more than that, like, he wasn't there to do anything crazy. It proves to me that he probably had no idea what was coming because he was fully getting ready for bed. His wife said that one of the last things he would do before he climbed in bed was put that night guard in.
Yeah, I used to have a retainer. You don't want to wear that for much longer than you have to.
Yeah, so I wonder if he like laid down to go to sleep, he has his night guard in, and then somebody sneaks in and injects him with something. But again, the biggest question in my mind that I cannot get over is where did this crime scene happen? Were they super lucky in just like the way in which they stabbed him? Like there wasn't, if they stabbed him slowly, maybe there wouldn't be a ton of blood splatter.
Like if the knife was stuck in and like left there almost for a while.
Yeah. And then the blood would like pool internally.
Especially if he wasn't moving. And then, but the thing that gets me is a stab to the heart.
Yeah.
Like that would just explode blood, wouldn't it?
You would think. I mean, maybe unless like the heart was the last one that was stabbed, but they didn't say in which order it happened. I think, you know, one of them went into his abdomen, the other one ended up hitting one of his lungs. So maybe if it was like abdomen, lung, you're dying, maybe you are already dead, and then they stab you again in the heart. I don't know. This is crazy. And where, what happened to like the murder weapons? Did all these men really shower? Did just one of them do it and they're all this like close family? I think that's where like the whole like, you know, air quotes family thing plays in, is they're saying one of them did it and the other ones feel protective of them, which
they're just like closing ranks.
Yeah. Which makes a little bit of sense because, you know, if the theory is the witness that heard them heard Victor scream, why would Victor scream if he knew what he was going to find?
Or was participating in it in some way.
Yeah. I think, again, from like everything we talked about in the episode, the knife's missing from Dylan's room. That milking machine was found in Dylan's room that they think was used. I have to believe that something surrounding Dylan is involved. Maybe it was no one who was in the house. Maybe they're protecting this fourth person that we don't know about.
Right. Man, this case really, truly was bonkers. I cannot come up with another term for it. I'm sorry.
I know. And I don't know. I'm just going to like stumble and be like for like 25 minutes because those are like the little things that I think we could have spun around and talked about a lot. But
it's an endless conversation. We could go on for a whole nother episode with this stuff.
Yeah, especially because, again, I said this before, but the fact that his wife was like, yeah, Joseph Price was at our wedding. I knew him. I did not see this coming. I didn't have any like worries about him going over there. I mean, it would be like, I think about some of like my college friends or my high school friends. If I'd been like, oh, I haven't seen them in a long time. Hey, I'm in town. Can I crash at your place? And then all of a sudden I show up stabbed to death and sexually assaulted.
Yeah, I was going to say, I stayed with one of our like high school friends back in 2018. Like you knew him. I knew him. I hadn't met his wife yet, but like,
yeah,
Justin and I stayed there for a couple days. We survived, and we never thought we might get murdered.
Yeah, it would be like if somebody called me and they were like, hey, Britt died while staying there. She was like, her and Justin were sexually assaulted, and we think they were like paralyzed. They say there was an intruder, but definitely was. I mean, I don't know. This is crazy.
And also the people that you know had nothing to do with it.
I need a drink hardcore. I hope everyone, tell us what you think in the comments. Go back on our Facebook group and like talk about all this stuff, you guys. I just wanted to have the conversation with the people we care about most here on Patreon.
Hey now. We love all of our listeners.
Yeah, but we love them the most because they love us the most to pay for it.
Okay, fair enough.
All right, we'll be back, you guys, for some more full-length episodes, and keep on keeping on. Thank you for supporting us. This episode of Crime Junkie was researched, written, and hosted by me, with co-hosting by Britt Praywatt. All of our editing and sound production was done by David Flowers, and all of our music, including our theme, comes from Justin Daniel. Crime Junkie is an Audio Chuck production. So what do you think, Chuck? Do you approve?